First Corinthians chapter 3. We are going on a journey tonight. Okay, so there is something like a prescription that I gave. Do you understand that prescription? All right. Okay. First Corinthians chapter 3. As we advance, we'll begin from verse 4. I'd like us to look at it critically. Are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 4? It says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" This is comparison. "Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." So, the champion is the Lord that bestowed upon each functionary the grace from whence they have functioned. Next verse. And then we see that in the labors of the kingdom, we cannot isolate the activity of Paul from the activity of Apollos. As wonderful as the ministry of Paul was, in the sequence, there is a sequence, there is a procedure, because the personality that has the path of increase is God. And so the Bible says that Paul planted, Apollos water, and then God gave the increase. God is more concerned about process and procedure than results. When a generation of results, quick fixes, make it happen. And there is this new doctrine among the people of God that you cannot argue with proof. I was reading a caption on Facebook, and a young man was pointing to a Nigerian preacher. And then what he wrote, the picture of the Nigerian preacher was there. He wrote something up, you know, on top of the picture. And what did he say? He said, "This man has proofs. This man has proofs. Listen to him." So he's compelling us to listen to him because the man has proofs. So it's a doctrine of proof. I've attended a seminar before when a man said, he spoke so boldly with about 5,000 people, "You cannot argue with proof." And everybody said, "Oof." I know some of you believe that because you have not yet walked with God. You don't know that you can generate proof through familiar spirits. You can generate proof through witchcraft. You can even prophesy by witchcraft, because the witches will prophesy and go in the night and kill the people and bring it to pass. They say it, they inform you, and they go to perform it. And I say you can argue with proof. Because when Moses struck the rock, when he was supposed to speak to the rock, water still came out. There is a different parameter with which we view kingdom labels and kingdom activity. It's called the parameter of accuracy. Because the increase is in the hand of God. When we started this labor, I was thinking that after 2 years, the nations of the world will gather here to listen to the word of God from my mouth. Because what God told me in the wilderness is that the nations will hear you. Oh my, Takaba. So when I came back, I was full of the visions I saw. And for a long time, instead of nations coming, I saw trouble. Trouble from all different quarters. So much so that a time came when I doubted the things I heard on the mountaintop. But every word of God goes through a procedure of incubation. You see, the God's emphasis is not to bring to pass what he has told you, but the process that is required. God is more delighted in the process than the fulfillment of what he has spoken in your life. And I saw that until the fullness of time, or what the Bible calls the appointed time comes, many utterances of God will be kept in darkness. There's a process you go through. The things that used to excite you will die in the grave of your heart. And when it has died, then he that has the power, he that is called the resurrection, and the life, brings those dead words back to life, because the power by which he uttered them is not a power that can be extinguished. It was silent because God was taking you through the process that will lead to the manifestation. And so we see in this sequence, as wonderful as Paul's ministry was, it did not have the capacity in itself to receive blessings of increase. God had to move someone to the same territory where Paul was laboring, and he called the ministry of that person watering. God doesn't just want to win a battle, he wants to win it in a certain way. And he designed how he wants to win in each territory before he released you as a functionary. And so if you set your heart on results as the template, you are likely to miss accuracy. For kingdom people, accuracy is superior to results. Results are bound to come in the appointed time if your accuracy is kept intact. You know, there's a temptation for you to lose accuracy just because of the test of time. And if you lose accuracy because of time, because God will test you with time, he will test you with time. And if over time you became a liar in the things that you yourself decreed, you became a liar by those standards, it means you were fake from the beginning. Because time doesn't have power to kill, it only reveals and heals. But there are some injuries, there's nothing the doctor can do. You need time for it to heal. And there are some people, you need time for you to know them. Time can reveal a man. So when you see a man under intense pressure, see him under intense circumstances and situations, who he is under that pressure is who he has become by the dealings of God. Yes. When I married, we married, God led us and we married, and there was so much love. But I discovered that love alone could not keep a home. There were orientations, there were perceptions we had that if we had retained, that home would have been a broken home by now. And so what God did was that he subjected us to turbulence. Our flesh created turbulence, and then time revealed us, circumstances and situations revealed our tendencies. Yes. And when the tendencies were revealed, he still took the workings of the protocol of the cross to take away from us the old creation that we lean on from the standpoint of our soul. It was meticulous working of the cross. Today, the harmony that I dwell in my home is a focus that reveals that I will live long. You want to see a change, but God wants to ensure that your life becomes accurate. And so a kingdom man should measure his days by the instrumentality of accuracy. How accurate have I remained over time? I've seen several people that took decisions in ministry just because they felt they were not having results. So they sacrificed the altar of accuracy and began the adventure towards the acquisition of results. At the end of the day, they became a monster, a beast, something, a personality they could not even recognize after many years. They are so changed that they did not look like who they used to be. Please help me tell your neighbor, God will prove you with time. Oh, I remember those days in our prayer group. All of us say, God, we can die for you. And Jehovah was watching us. I remember one brother, he never finishes his sermon until he has said, God, I am that man that will die at your altar. Oh my God. There is a subtle point in the sermon where he is going to unveil his desire to die as a martyr for the kingdom of God. And then we were organizing a rural crusade. And unfortunately, I was the one to select who we preach. And he felt he was supposed to be the first person to be selected. And based on what I saw, he was not on the list. and I pointed the people that were preaching. That young man went and connived with the villagers to ensure that they did not give us the venue for the crusade. And when he did that, when he spoiled the whole thing, he left. And we were bringing our equipment, not knowing that he had stirred up war. The same man that said he will die, he stirred up great war. And I was praying on the mountain top and asking for the glory of God to descend. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me. He said, one of your own has sold you out. Descend. That's the first time God sent me away from prayer room. He said, go now. Because if not that I came, the young men moving the equipment would have fought. And the glory of God, the crusade we're bringing, we would have been more in need of Jesus than the people that we were going to minister. I don't know, but the Lord solved that problem. And we had that crusade. And one of the people that would have fought was a preacher man for the night. And he came in the glory of God that night. That glory would have been depleted by that fight. In fact, nobody would have believed it. Meanwhile, the man that said he would die was standing afar off to see if we would survive. What he created, who art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel. God is more concerned about the process. You are looking to the day when you come to the altar with a damsel fair to look upon. God is more concerned about the wilderness he will navigate and how that wilderness will impact upon the bowels of anger in your vessel. Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave what? Meanwhile, the church, they were analyzing the ministry of Paul and said, wow, I'm for Paul. He is a master apostle, an establisher, the true father. And some others that were impacted by the ministry of Apollos said the same for him. And somewhat of a comparison was about to ensue. And it took spiritual understanding to know that their ministry were complementary. And God would not have blessed what Paul did outside of the watering that Apollos had to do. There were two messengers sent into the same region. They were not competing. They were what? Complementing. And it will take the full stroke of their ministries for God that gives increase to come upon the city. In the process of time, as you labor under God's government, there are many things about God you will get to know. Hallelujah. When I thought that nations will come, and I prophesied it until it was becoming a lie, then I stopped prophesying. And when I stopped prophesying it, then the dealings that will make me such a suitable person to represent God amidst the nations now began. And it continued for 7 years. And after seven, meanwhile, I had invitations in 2008. I had invitations to 17 African nations. And when I say, okay, let me just follow the formality and consult with God. And God said, he didn't open any door for me. So I'm still wondering to the science of how 17 doors open without the knowledge of God. And if you are a freak of results, a freak of doors, you would have entered into you have entered the dragon. You know, Bruce Lee that did enter the dragon? You would have ended up in the dragon. Stay with God. Every man has a timing. Every man has a time of manifestation. Maybe you saw Reverend Hughes today and he looked bright. And he said, God, we were classmates. No, you are looking from a wrong vista. This is his time of manifestation. Yes, there were many conferences we went for those days. Because I was given to doctrine from the early times. From the 90s. I was known for doctrine. I was given to doctrine. Those days, and I went for conferences. We sat under masters of the Bible, and many of them used scriptures to lie. Some of us knew that these were lies, but it was not our time, and we did not have authority from God at that time to reveal the treachery that was going on, because the mind of God will not be revealed until the fullness of time takes its toll. So a man that is aggressive for results is likely to miss accuracy. And accuracy, when the Lord speaks in your spirit and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, he does that mystically by administering peace to your heart. So every time you labor for him, Watch the state of your heart. I've gone to preach in several places. They called me a great preacher. And in my delivery, the Lord was not happy. His peace was withdrawn from my heart. But the congregation did not know. I left that place to lie before him, asking for mercy until 2 a.m. in the morning. Before he said, rise up, it's alright. If you follow the accolades of the crowd, you will soon become a man without stature. The emphasis of a kingdom man is always different from the mundane man. Whereas the mundane man will think you a fool for you to bring your hard-earned resources in the name of offering. Hallelujah. But a kingdom man knows that it's the only way he can register the fact that he honors God in his heart. The thing for which the Gentiles seek, he uses those same things as objects to express his unalloyed devotion to God and the status of honor that is in his heart for his master. The next point I want to raise will take so much time, so I'm looking at the clock. I don't know if I succeed in making this next point, then we'll begin to pray. Trust God for his spirit to descend amongst us. Third point on the signpost is, do not confuse the Godhead with the Godhead. Do not confuse what? The Godhead with what? With the Godhead. Come with me. Daniel chapter 3. As we advance. I think Reverend Hughes has a special anointing in the area of teaching prosperity, because his delivery is very balanced. Very balanced. Hallelujah. We salute Reverend Hughes. He's a great man of God. Daniel chapter 3. We'll do a lot of reading, and I'd like us to see the progression. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, which I want to read, I would like to establish the setting. Nebuchadnezzar was the first king that earned the title King of Kings. He was the first personality that pioneered the concept of globalization. In those days, if Nebuchadnezzar should throw a party, such parties lasted for like 6 months, and not parties in a hotel, but parties across continents. He was the pioneer of the concept of globalization. And if we study the functionaries that operated in his kingdom, you have an idea of how he was able to have dominion over nations, and kings were under him. Provinces, territories, continents made obeisance to him. One of the reasons, one of the things you will see in the structure of his government is that Nebuchadnezzar gave a lot of. He was a man that respected spiritual inspiration. Yes, because in the Ministry of Wisdom in Babylon, you will find astrologers under his employment. You will find Chaldeans under his employment. You will find sorcerers under his employment. You will find magicians under. So he was operating by a superlative kind of strategy. And that's why when the Jews were conquered, They already knew the description of the kind of people that had capacity to stand before the king. First of all, you must be vast in your knowledge. And in addition to everything you have acquired by learning, you must have an access into the spirit realm through a kind of priesthood. And in the book of Daniel chapter 1, we could see that the specialty of Daniel and his vista towards accessing the realm of the spirit happens to be the conduit pipe of dreams, the arena of dreams. Daniel was a master of the arena of dreams. And when they found such spiritual inclination, meanwhile they have oracles and they have personalities that have capacity to detect if you are such a man that can access the spirit realm, either by diabolic means, either by ogugu, either by akpan. But you must have a spiritual edge that takes you beyond relative natural estimation. And everything that became an issue of concern in that kingdom, he gathered not the experts, the theologians, and the historians. He gathered what? His wise men. So it was by the insight that came through these wise men, he administered a nation, a government that had influence over nations and continents. And he was the first man, apart from God, that was hailed as the King of Kings. I want us to consider the texture of his government and the emphasis of that government, since he's the founder of the principle of globalization. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth was what? 6 cubits. So that's 6 6. If I had time, I would have shown you 6 from the book of First Chronicles. Then this is 6 6. And then the book of Revelation, you have 666. So this is this is the two-dimensional framework. Oh my, you are not with me. Oh well, if you didn't get that, just forget about it. It won't affect anything. But this is the two-dimensional framework of the philosophy of the government of the Antichrist that will be established in the end of days. Huh? This is a two-dimensional framework. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Next verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, and the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. This man was trying to establish a global religion. I wish we had time to go to the book of Revelation chapter 13. Then you will see what he is trying to establish. And we also have time to touch Ezekiel chapter 28. You will see the flow of thought. It is a seamless flow of thought. So he sent for all the functionaries, the captains, the sheriffs, the judges. Now they should come to Babylon. There is a dedication that is going to take place. And the dedication that is going to take place is an image of himself made of gold. And that was the day Nebuchadnezzar declared that the gold head will be the god of the nations. You are not with me? So, let me pick some scriptures to support that before we continue the reading. Stay with me. It is in the book of Revelation that John revealed that Satan has debts, and several of them who were members of the churches have already tasted, they have already known the debts of Satan. Satan has debts. And if you are going to survive, because we have seen a lot of people that started out wanting God, desiring God, what? They wanted to walk with God, but ended up as Ezemo, using powers from the water to facilitate ministry. Is it that the person is not aware that he has set himself up against God? He's aware, but how did he end up there? Because Satan has debts, and many people are not careful to understand the depths of Satan. Come with me. Oh, you know, when I'm doing Bible study, I use a lot of paper. Sometimes you would think he's mad now. Then I say, don't touch the table, touch every other thing, sweep. Don't sweep, because when they sweep, they'll be led by something to touch them. They'll be led.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's do Psalms 135 verse 15 before I continue. Psalms 135 verse 15. Please be patient with me as we run through some scriptures. Psalms 135 verse 15. No. See, you are presenting Psalms 15. Oh my God. All right. Psalms 135 verse 15. He say, this, you are not there. All right. Don't worry. Just leave the media team. They are on their own now. Psalms 135 verse 15. He said, the idols of the hidden are what? Silver and gold. That's where I'm going. He said, because Nebuchadnezzar raised an image of what? I had to bring this scripture just to show you what is happening. You might say it's Azor. Azor. That's how you see it. But the Bible says the idols of the hidden, they are what? When you go to consult that Azor, the Oya of the Azor, the compound where the Azor is being hosted, you will pay tariff for consultation, for help. You see, at the end of the day, it boils down to silver and gold. And he said the idols of the hidden are what? Silver and gold. This man had the opportunity to pioneer the concept of globalization. What did he do with the opportunity? He set up a worship system. And the worship system, in the pyramid of worship, Mammon was installed as the ultimate god of the nations. Are you still with me in my Bible study? Alright, so come with me. Let me do a few scriptures. Alright, so we can go back so that I can finish my reading. Then the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriff, and the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar, the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried out, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. Dominion was from sea to sea. So there was a herald. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet. Please, oh my God. We don't have time to do an analysis of wind instruments. The cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the sapstring, and the dulcimer. These were, especially the last instrument mentioned here, is used for snake charming. Is a seduction that is in the world, the age in which we dwell, to keep us perpetually worshipping what is not God. So there's an inducement in this worship. It's not dry worship. No. There's a sound that makes it easier for you to bow. They create an atmosphere that is so soothing. Oh my God. It's so wonderful. It will take effort for you not to bow under such circumstances. Because the flute is giving you aid. The harp sound is giving you aid. The string and the wind instruments are in partnership with the worship that has been set up. So when you see a pastor that was reaching with flame, and then you come back after 10 years, his language has changed. It was the harp he heard. This setup that was put up here, Nebuchadnezzar knew his potency. It would take a man that is dead not to respond to this worship system. He said, to you, it is commanded. Hallelujah. I don't want to go to the book of Proverbs. I have a twin scripture that will give us more insight into the array of instruments that were put in place deliberately to aid the worship of the Godhead. And all nations. See, his first opportunity that God gave him as a king of nations, he used it to institutionalize Mammon as the chief spirit. Later on in scripture, we see Jesus trying to undo the impact of what Nebuchadnezzar had done many years ago. Because at that time, it was obvious that the two entities that have the capacity to demand for human worship at that time was what? God. Amen. But stay with me. We have not reached there yet. I would still like us to analyze some things. So there's a support system to aid the worship that Nebuchadnezzar was presenting to the nations, and he wanted to institutionalize the Godhead as a God of the hidden. Hallelujah. And all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, the same hour shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. This is the same kind of stuff that the Antichrist is going to establish. A world religion. A world religion that is regulated from a religious center. And there's going to be harmonization of beliefs that humankind has evolved. We can decide what to believe, and it will now become a crime for you not to believe how you are supposed to believe. So the first time that was experimented was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the first man that was called King of Kings. Can you jump with me? Can we trace this Nebuchadnezzar? Let's trace him. Turn to chapter 4. We'll move to chapter 4, verse 22, as we trace this Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. Now, chapter 4, verse 22 that I opened to us is actually one of those times that Daniel had to come upon the scene. And the reason why Daniel came upon the scene was because the necromancers, the Chaldeans, the astrologers, were proven to be impotent in interpreting an enigma. An enigma that the God of heaven had projected as a metaphor concerning his intent in the nations of the world. Whereas the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had policies that he had formulated. The great monarch of heaven was also showing signs to Nebuchadnezzar that his own direction is different from the direction that Nebuchadnezzar was going. Meanwhile, when they brought the witches and brought the magicians and brought the astrologers to come bring interpretation to the signs that God was giving, they did not have the capacity through their priesthood to decipher what God was saying. That situation was what bedeviled Daniel in the fold of the seers. So at the end of the day, they will have to reach back to Daniel to find his perspective. This reading I'm about to do is an interpretation that Daniel gave to Nebuchadnezzar after the helplessness of the other spiritual, the medium, have been revealed. And I'd like us to probe into it a little bit. The reading will be too long for us if we start from the vision and then come to the interpretation. But the meat of the matter is in the interpretation. Verse 22. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. So he was a king of the world, Nebuchadnezzar. This happened only once. And the next person that is going to play this game is the Antichrist. And whereas the king saw a watcher, because the king, his eyes were open to see the administration of the decrees of heaven. Let me finish my reading. Whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven, saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump and the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High. For the first time, Nebuchadnezzar will have to consider the fact that there was still a king whose kingship was higher than everything he had set up in his domain. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that there shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and there shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And there shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will. And whereas they commanded thee to
to leave the stump of the tree, of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou hast known that the heavens do rule. The reason for the lessons in seven seasons is for Nebuchadnezzar to know that it's the heavens that rules the earth. Are you with me? Alright, so let me still push you for that to 34. Please, don't be tired of reading. Okay? 34. And at the end of this, a testimony. End of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. He didn't need an evangelist to conduct deliverance for me. When the seasons that were prophesied, wait, let me explain that first one. In his dream, he saw watchers. There are many departments of angels. They are warrior angels. Those ones walk under Michael. They are warrior angels. They are watching angels. This one bring reports. They see the things that happen and bring reports to God. Hallelujah. These watching angels, they are in the quadrant of the cherubims. And as they watch, there is something that they cannot handle. When they see a man, are you with me, that doesn't give glory to God, these watchers, they are jealous for God. They must punish that man. It's not as if they go to heaven to receive permission to punish. They have authority by God from creation to punish everything, every entity that does not give God glory. Yes. Oh, are you still with me? It was the watchers he saw in his dream, and the watchers decreed the judgment, and the judgment they decreed was not in consultation with the God Most High. They had statutory authority to decree vengeance, to decree judgment on anyone that seems to usurp the position of God. Do you still remember what happened to Herod when he was giving a speech? And while he was giving the speech, he was so eloquent, his wisdom was so distilled. And then he committed an abomination by saying that these words were not the words of man. It was one of the watchers that struck him. He did not go to heaven to consult. He struck him there. There was no consultation recorded in scripture, because statutory authority was given to these beings. So it was a watcher that Nebuchadnezzar saw. And the watcher came with a decree. Now that he had exalted himself as the God of gods, he has taken part of God's name, King of Kings. So his judgment was proclaimed by the decree of the watchers. Are you there? So he's telling the testimony now. In the book of Daniel chapter 4 from verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I bless the Most High God, and I praise and honored him. You might be amazed when we go to heaven, you will see Nebuchadnezzar. No, I'm not joking with you. You must have known that I'm a custodian of doctrine. As humorous as Jesus was, he didn't crack a joke. Never cracked a joke. And what I'm saying, you'll be amazed that you will see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. My understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will, and the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say, stay his hand, nor say unto him, what doest thou? The reading is still on, but we don't have time. Can we flip? Unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar had this experience, and the conclusion was that he accepted that the government in the heavens is superior to the government on earth, and he yielded and accepted to be a servant of the heavens. He even promoted the God of Daniel as the sovereign God that all men should worship. But unfortunately, he did not pass on that value system to his son. See the kind of encounter he had. He did not institutionalize his encounters.
So his son came that was totally oblivious of the things he had gone through and the findings he had made in his pilgrimage. The reason why I read this scripture is just to provide an introduction. This is not where I'm going. My real scripture is about his son. But I had to do this to show you that he had very tangible encounters with God, and these encounters led him to a state of accepting the sovereignty of God and yielding to be a servant of the heavens. He did not pass. Guess what? The son started from where he stopped. But unfortunately for the son, he committed a trespass. And it is the trespass he committed I'd like us to investigate. Daniel chapter 5. My true reading is from Daniel chapter 5, from verse 4 to verse 13. Israel had been conquered, and the vessels that were used in the temple had been taken to Babylon. They were kept in the store for many, many years. And it came to pass that a season of merriment broke out in Babylon. And the son of Nebuchadnezzar felt there was no better way to celebrate this season of festivity than to bring out the vessels of God that were locked up in Babylon. Those were the vessels that they were used to drink in this year party. And in verse 4, the Bible says they drank wine and praised the gods of what? Of gold. The gold head. Fortunately, Nebuchadnezzar did not pass down the encounters that he had. They praised the gods of gold and the gods of silver and the gods of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And at the same hour came four fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loose. That is, his waist, the alignment of his waist was out of joint. And his knees smote against each other. The king cried aloud. Guess who he will cry to? The magical men. To the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and a chain of gold about his neck. And he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake unto and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee. Let not thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him who King Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit was found, and knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will show you the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king spake unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry, out of the land of the Jews? I have heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that thou, that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men and astrologers have been brought before me,
and they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and thou shalt be the third ruler of the kingdom. The reason why I did all this reading is because of the next verse. This is the technocrat that they had to summon. He was on retirement. They had to bring him back to active service. After a long time of retirement, his name was forgotten. Only the ancients that were there in the days of Nebuchadnezzar remember that there was such a gem and a star that ruled by the side of the great monarch Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 17. What did he say? He was old at this time. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself." You know, this one is not in the service of the gold head. Let thy what? Because the king will entice you with a sum. It's a contract sum. You are being hired as a technocrat, and this is what is due you. You will eventually become the third ruler of the kingdom, and a gold signet will be put around you, a chain. Glory. When this man came from retirement, we knew that his persuasion was different from what was driving everyone in the palace. He was serving something higher than gold. So the first thing he did was, he said, "What? Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation." The first thing we need to ask is, what language, in what language did they write what was written? Because this guy was a king of kings. He had access to a lot of wise men in different nations. And if it was a human language, he would have found a scholar that could read it. And just in case you think, okay, you know it's not a human language, because the guys they brought were guys that had spiritual powers, because the thing had transcended the human realm, and their knowledge counted for nothing. If it were previously, Daniel would have said, "Give me time," because there was a time he asked for time. He had grown in the oil, in the anointing. He didn't need a retreat anymore. Now, I've tried to study this man, Daniel, for a very long time, because when he was described, they said light and understanding was found in him. Such as was only found among the gods. That means if Daniel was around, you know, there's no need to consult with Azor spirit, because he himself was I'm wondering when will we be like this. Now give me that scripture, the next verse, verse 18. "O king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father." So the reference was back to the encounters of Nebuchadnezzar. And because Daniel was there, and Daniel wondered why this young man did not learn what his father had learned as a beast for 7 years. "Thy father, he gave thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he willed he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down." That means he didn't need to consult with anybody. There's something in your history that you have not found. how God dealt with your father Nebuchadnezzar. If you had learned the lessons that your father learned, you will not be where you are today. I thought they called this guy for interpretation. He was offering more services here because I'm seeing counseling. There will always be a temptation for you to confuse the gold head for what? A man that loves people will use money. And a man that loves money will use people. My brother said I should repeat that. I say a man that loves people will use money. And a man that loves money will use people. Meanwhile, I need to show you the principle of consecration. You know, those vessels were consecrated unto God. It means they become God's property. Are you here? And it also means that they can no longer be put to mundane use. Now, if you buy 10 cups from the market, are you here now? You buy 10 cups from the market and then you decide to take 2 of the cups to the temple, and then the priest receives the cups from you. Alright? Anoints them or sprinkles blood on them. Those cups have now been consecrated cups. They are holy cups. And because they are holy cups, they can only be used for service within the walls of the temple. It is an abomination for you to use those cups for anything that mundane cups are used for. And this man now came and he said, alright, in this our jive, in our gyration will not be complete until we reach out into the treasury and bring out the cups that were meant for the house of God. And the moment those cups were put to mundane use, the God of the cups showed his hand. It's just like somebody takes a goat to a shrine and then he releases it to Azor. And then him and the Azor master, they fight in the market in the afternoon. He comes back to the shrine and says, "Hey, give me." You, the goat that he's taking is not the same goat he gave. This one has been dedicated, what? To Azor. It's only Azor's spirit within the scope of his service that thing has meaning now. If you want to bring it out of that context, to move it into the mundane world, it will only bring chaos and challenges and many sorrows and burdens. The guy committed sacrilege, and the God of the cups, his hand showed something much more than his international party was at work. The moment the hand appeared, the party ended. And the Bible, I've seen people's all kinds of dislocations. I went to where one man, the man knows how to fix bones. But when I went, I didn't see anybody whose waist was dislocated. But in the day where that hand appeared, so let me go straight to the point. Now that I've established doctrine, let me tell you what I saw in the body of Christ. I've seen several people that think that approval is directly proportional to the amount of money you control. If that's your conclusion, sorry, I don't have time to go to the book of Luke. My New Testament perspective to support this introduction I've done is in the book of Luke, where Jesus spoke about mammon. So the prosperity we are preaching is not mammon. In fact, you can't even handle financial prosperity if you are not dead to money. Just like Reverend Hill said, the resources that God gives us, he gives us in trust. Prosperity is a responsibility, not an attainment.
Because the reason for which God makes a man strong in the area of wealth is because he has his church, his kingdom in view. However, are you with me? However, if you are such a conduit pipe through which finances flows, you know, we can survive on the extras. The extras are sufficient enough to keep us. We are okay. We can ride our jets on the extras. We can ride our helicopters on the extras. Just because he found us worthy conduit pipes to convey the resources required to move his kingdom to the next level. Are you with me? There's nothing sinful about having a jet if it's a tool that facilitates your purpose upon the face of the earth. But if it's a status symbol, you know, there is, it is a very thin line. Very thin line. If you think that you need to upgrade in order for you to reach that status symbol of the big boy level, you need to go to the US and you find the average millionaire in the US uses a private jet just like we use a laptop computer. And then you find out that it's the depth of poverty that makes a man think that he has a level now just because of something material. Everything that is material is a tool for us to achieve the purpose of God. And we do not come to that sorry state where that for us is a measure of classification. It's an attainment. Because it is very easy for you to confuse the gold head for what? For the Godhead. Give me volume. I like how we are quiet like this. It means we are meditating. Because greatness will come to us. Because money will come. And we need to tell ourselves the truth today. So that God will give us the grace to model the life of the kingdom at that level. There's been so much confusion in the body of Christ. And the average minister now that is receiving training to do the work of the ministry doesn't have Jesus as his first audience. He's going to succeed. He's going to create results. He's going for all the bad reasons. And he cannot have that focus and end well in Jesus' good books. Because he started on the wrong foot, confusing the Godhead for the Godhead. Sometimes results take time to come. And so we use accuracy as the measure of our alignment to God. Hallelujah. Peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, is the record, is Jesus' testimony about your labor. Part time. We bask in that peace and we are glad that we are part of the functionaries that he has chosen to labor in his vineyard. Increase belongs to God, not to you. And increase will come at the appointed time. In this day, believers no longer have the culture of waiting until their time comes. Meanwhile, while Joseph was in the prison, he knew that there was nobody that could set him free on the strength of the allegations that were leveled against him. And the Bible says, and until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. We've walked with God too long for us to think that we can leave the pattern that God is modeling in our lives and they try to do one shortcut and it will not produce. Whereas other people use charm for ministry, it works for them. You, it will not work. You have been condemned to walk this process because God wants to model something through your life. Until his word came. So no change found expression in his life until his word came. You are more concerned about the results. He's more concerned about you becoming who he wants you to be. Going through the process so that anger can be blotted out. And when you stand and speak to your generation,
Thus saith the Lord.
He will come to confirm it. Because after you prophesy and people come close to check your lifestyle, they will see God modeled.
I will wait. Please tell your neighbor, I will wait.
I will wait until my change come. That's the testimony of Job. He knew there were many mundane ways to create change. But he said, my own will come from God. So the psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. He said, my own help cometh from where? The Lord. Can you wait for your husband? Can you wait for your wife? Can you wait until that authority comes upon your ministry? I've seen several people that do make believe. I saw, you will not believe. They wanted to do a crusade in Eagle Square. You know Eagle Square in Abuja? They wanted to do a crusade in Eagle Square. And then a night before the crusade, several people were on the Eagle Square. And what were they doing? Rehearsal of miracles. You will come as a cripple. You will come as a mute. And then when the command is released, suddenly you will come out of the wheelchair. Oh, you are not aware of these things. You can create results. Human beings are intelligent creatures. And when a senior minister in town now went to check out what was happening, guess what happened? The guys that were teaching them how to do miracles removed guns. Yes. Oh. It's only you that is still correct. The rest have gone in search of the gold head. The gold head will make you a criminal. The gold head will make you a counterfeit. The gold head will make you a creature that when you look at yourself in the mirror after 5 years, you will not recognize the person you see. And if we are going to maintain standard in ministry and bear a witness that is stronger than the witness our fathers have borne, we must pay the price to be accurate. Yes. We should be creatures of the appointed time. For no man can receive anything except it be given unto him from heaven. The Jews, because they will call you a Jew, as intelligent as you are, you can sell your gift. Hallelujah. The question always lingered. Who do you worship? The gold head or the God head? Kamina salabante kurapai. Ikapelaske bronde minia. Tonight is a night of commitment. We want to take a vow before him. I say, I will serve the God head. Kings and kingdoms, they will pass away, but the great monarch of Zion, no jot, no tittle of his counsel will fall to the ground without finding accomplishment, because the energy with which he uttered his counsel is such that he cannot return unto him void. Can we rise as we take an oath of office? The recovery will begin from me. I will be that shining light that someone will see and know that indeed in my life has the protocol of the grace of God been modeled. There is something God is building on the countryside. He's building it in the hidden places. He's building it in the wilderness. He wants to make a show of his glory, but he's building the functionaries that will carry light. The queen said, there is a man in thy kingdom, light and understanding, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him.
I will be standing where you say I should stand. I will be doing what you say I should do. For no one else can preach my sermon. No one else can sing my song. Laila Bosala, Rokosala Mantala, Emine Sela Brito, Malako Sela Bo, Munukaledaba, Kaledaba, Mahile. Ete masoba mina malatake la mama. Aisa nana mongali sama tela kuma. Ela soso meske malika masobena. Aprande la kabase na levome. Emina laike ma. Mahile, hey, Mahile, kona mosele bo mena. Ai kona sanda male. Mahile, imama sombre malato zeni. Ekama yekona manzela. Ekama yekona sene man. And having done all to stand, see a lumbre sabanada, the cambo sambes keva sosena la bronde.
Jesus. And I beheld heaven open. And what I saw, he called it two witnesses descended. And the light that came, the flash that came, was a bright light. And I wondered why he had revealed this. Then I realized that there were two people in the congregation. These two people are special messengers of God. And the Lord will use you to minister, to witness in strange places. The spiritual ceremony that I saw in heaven was like a proclamation of the destiny of those two individuals. In the next 5 seconds, the hand of God will begin to come on those two. There are just two of them. And in 5 seconds, the hand of God will begin to descend on those two individuals. They are just two. And the glory of God will descend upon you so strong. Because a door is opening in heaven. A door is opening in heaven. A door is opening. I beheld a door. Liakuma. Zeikopala. A door opens. A door opens. You will be a witness. You will be a witness. Your life will be a testimony. And a door opens in the heavens. The door opens. Oh my, the door opens. The door opens. It opens in the heavens. It opens. I see a fire. There's a fire. There's a fire I see kindled in the spirit. I see a fire kindled in the spirit. Kindled so high in heaven. And this flame is the announcement of an evangelical ministry. The announcement of an evangelical ministry. And this fire will be the resource that God will give to you. And the burning flame will regulate your passion and your compassion. The flame burns in the heavens. I can't hear. Ilabo Boria Mamas. Ilabras Keso Somina Brante. Amaraso Sela Ikoma. Aliko Bre La Baratu La Brante Sumina Amberato Ekas Kebro. Mahabasi Ma Laboria Mahas. Now, ushers, can you just bring them? Bring them. Let me touch them before we proceed. Because what God is doing is that He's confirming His activity in your life. He's confirming His activity in your life. Confirming his activity. Now, is it that we don't have ushers outside? My God. I see a strange sign. Ropo, attend to this. See. Take this lady to the deliverance chamber. Now listen, before we go ahead, listen. This is what I see. This is what I see. I see someone. Please listen. I see someone. You had a dream and you thought you were dreaming. And then when you were waking up from your dream, you were seeing what you saw in your dream as if you were seeing it physically. It's you I'm looking for. If you had that experience, come. You had a dream, and when you were waking up, it was as if you were seeing that which you were seeing in your dream physically. I'm looking for you. Now, so that we will not get involved with dealing with the wrong people, Pastor Tony, can you help me interview these people? Let's be sure that we are dealing with the right people. No. I don't believe that there should be as many as this. Just, oh my God, you are about to be banished from that place. La posele mazile abrante kuskabai toka brante susema iko prala masatu. There's a lady here. You have had abdominal pains for 5 days. This is the fifth day. Abdominal pains, you have had it for 5 days. Today marks the fifth day. I'm looking for you. Come. 5 days. Today is the fifth day. Come now. Come now. Come now. You had abdominal pains for 5 days. Today is the fifth day. No. The one I'm talking about is 5 days, not 3 days. 5 days. 5 days. Today is the fifth day. Today is the fifth day. You had abdominal pains for 5 days. Today is the fifth day. Why are you doing this? Because the person I'm talking about, you also had abdominal pains for 5 days. This is the fifth day. The hand of God will descend upon the person I'm talking about. And it's, come, two of you, come. There's something that is about to be removed from you. Something's about to be removed. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I don't know which one you were talking about, but you can show me the person that you were talking about that had these abdominal pains that you wanted me to meet so that your hand can touch the person and so that the vagabond spirit can be destroyed and that the destiny can be loosened so that she can become everything that you have ordained her to be. I ask, O God, that you show me who you spoke about by a sign. Release your power from the heavens and show me a sign. Now I command the spirit that has troubled your soul in the name of Jesus Christ, let that hold be broken. Go and sit down. Leave her. Confirm that. Just raise your right hand. Listen to me. The sign that God has answered all of you is that the hand of God will come upon one of you. That person upon whom the Lord will come has a chronic situation. But the Lord said, this is the way I will know you people. For his hand will come upon one of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your mighty hand will be stretched forth. Show me the sign. 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 So let your hand come strong. Stronger. 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 Stronger, Father. Stronger. In the name of Jesus. Let it come stronger.
If you brought anybody that is sick, any oppressed person, yes, the rest of you can go back. I've seen my sign. Oh, yes, come and help me, church. May the Lord give unto you that which you have lost. It comes back to you speedily in the name of Jesus. Yes, you can touch them. You can touch them. Now, put your hand where you feel sickness. And if you brought someone that is not well, you can touch the person where the sickness is. Free man, put your hand on your brother's head. Where is he? You brought a sick person, you have a right to be healed now. Because the power of God will begin to flow through the hand you used to lay on any part of your body. The power of God will flow through that. Your hand will be a contact point for the Lord. Am I to kabale masi? Am I to say premene keskitahi omaha? In the name of Jesus. Now let's do it this way. Can I just say very good amen? It will help me. I say in the name of Jesus. Listen. Listen. Don't remove that hand. The hand I say you should put, because where the sickness is, don't remove it. Even though I've been saying many things, but leave that hand there. There's somebody that's in trouble in our midst. This person that's in trouble, there are many times a spirit speaks into your heart, speaks through your thoughts. And the things that the spirit speaks in your thoughts are not good things. They are not good things. They are abominable things, but this spirit is speaking it into your thoughts. Is speaking it into your thoughts. That person is in trouble. Now, if you are that person, you can come here. You are in trouble. It's not you I'm talking about. Go back. You are in trouble. A gate has been opened against you. Leave the hand there. Don't take the hand away. Don't take the hand away. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody in the congregation, you saw yourself in a coffin and they were taking your cups. There are two such people in the congregation. You can join them. Can join them. They were taking away your cups in a coffin. You don't come to the house of God to die. This is a place where men collide with life. Those of you in front here, ask God for an intervention now. Now, now, right now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. You can be quiet. Those of you, stop your prayer. The sign that God has answered me is that one of you, the power of God will come on one of you. That's the sign that He has answered. Father, in the name of Jesus, this one's are being targeted. But they have come to your house. Now I ask, let the yoke that is upon them be broken. Yes, the hand of God will come on one of you. The prayer doesn't need to be louder than that. Yes, the yoke can no longer stay.
The yoke can no longer stay. Can no longer stay. Let the yoke be broken.
So this is what he's doing to all of you.
The yoke is lifted in the name of Jesus.
Look at me. Go to your seat. The thing that haunted you will no longer find you. Leave the hand there. That hand, I say, you should put where there is sickness. Come. They are carrying a load on your head. That's what I'm seeing. I don't know who put this heavy weight. Oh my God, I see. Jesus, lose her. Lose her. In the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus. Now see, I just saw someone, you were programmed to be in an accident 2 weeks from today. I know you don't believe that. But the Lord, if it is true, He will show a sign. Father, in the name of Jesus, can you please show me who was programmed to be in an accident? The spirit of death has been haunting this one. Can you show me that person? Inside, outside, inside, outside, inside, outside. Stretch forth your hand. Show me. Okay. If it is true, He is coming. Let it come stronger. Minasule kabaito kabarata minasato malimo shepreva baito kubriva salabata. Sister, what you could not do before today, God will give you the opportunity to enter into the things that you could not enter into, because I see that you have been resisted for many years. Your life has been slow. Delay has been your experience. But from today, you will enter into things you could not enter into. God has opened the door. Now, this lady was programmed for death. And so I break the chains that you carry. I break the chains. I proclaim liberty. Liberty. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I take authority over every sickness, over pain, over madness, over every kind of mental disorder. I take authority in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? As I was praying this prayer, a spirit from River Benue began to challenge me. I know you don't believe that. I know you don't believe that. So let's find out. Lord, in the name of Jesus, who is this person that these spirits have been agitated about just because we prayed? Let your hand come upon the person. Inside and outside. Inside and outside. Holy Spirit, I ask that you help me tonight. And let your hand come strong. Okay, he's coming. Let it come stronger.